All right, we'll say let's begin. So we're going to do a beautiful piece today by Rabbi Nachman from the beginning of the parsha. And again, you know, the Rebbe has many pieces about Tisha B'Av and the 9 days, but what I really wanted to focus on a lot more was just some of the Ben Adam L'Chavero aspects, some of the interpersonal yisodos that Rabbi Nachman teaches us that are really simple, but yet, like everything the Rebbe says, exceptionally profound. So let's take a look. So remember, the parasha begins, just the pasuk on top, Eila hadvar masher diber Moshe kol Yisrael. So these are the things that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all of Klal Yisrael, the Eber HaYardein, on the banks of the Jordan, and again, the Torah then goes on to discuss all the various places that Klal Yisrael were in over their course of their 40-year sojourn in the desert. The problem that Rashi and the other Mefarshim pick up on is that a lot of the places named in the Parsha don't seem to appear anywhere earlier in Chumash. So therefore, again, Rashi HaKadosh understands that the names of the places given in the beginning of the Parsha are not the actual geographic names. Instead, they're metaphorical names, ultimately to allude to all of the different places where Klal Yisrael sinned over the course of their sojourn in the desert. So for example, Rashi HaKadosh, I don't think you have that, I mean Zirax is part of the Pasuk on the sheet, but for example, the Pasuk says, Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Mosuf, Paran, Tofel, Lavan, Chatzeros, Dizahav. So just the simplest one, Rashi points out, Dizahav. There's no place that we know of that's called Dizahav. So Rashi says that's a reference to the eagle. It's a reference to the golden calf. So the idea over here is that Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is really quite amazing, that Rashi has this motif, that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give Musar, but gives it almost like a veiled type of Musar. So instead of explicitly saying, ultimately, again, all the places where Klal Yisrael made these dramatic mistakes, so Moshe Rabbeinu refers to them in a nuanced fashion. He gives names that refer to the missteps and transgressions of the particular place. So Rabbi Nachman learns an incredible claw from this. If you take a look by paragraph A, Eila Adrama Shadibra Moshe, Perish Rashi, Levi Shein Dibre Tochachos, Lefichach Sasam Esdvarav, Esadvarim, Veskiran Beremez Mipnei Kavodan Shal Yisrael. So says Rabbi Nachman so beautifully that what happens? So because ultimately again, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving tochacha, he's giving rebuke, but he wants to give veiled rebuke. So what does he do? He goes and he doesn't explicitly say, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. He makes up names of places, and through the names, that's a reference to the Averus of Klal Yisrael. Why did he do all of this? In order to preserve the dignity of Klal Yisrael. So the Rebbe writes, Ava Pishat Tochacha, even though, again, rebuking someone is something very important. In other words, the idea is the mitzvah of tochacha, of giving rebuke, is a mitzvah that is very important. So, and it's important for every person to rebuke his fellow. Now, we're going to qualify that just a little bit. Meaning, the idea is that there is a mitzvah to literally rebuke your fellow. Meaning that if I see someone doing something wrong, so ultimately, again, I'm supposed to point out to them what it is that they're doing wrong. Not in an effort to shtach them, chas v'shalom, but just the opposite, in an effort to try to put them on the proper path. The mitzvah of tochacha is a mitzvah of love, is a mitzvah of care, is a mitzvah of concern. So the Rebbe says as follows. He goes on, he says, paragraph B, go ahead and literally rebuke your friend. Afa pikein. So we'll say, now the Rebbe says, okay, so that's the halacha. We know, I see someone doing something wrong, I'm supposed to point out to them what they're doing wrong. But now the Rebbe qualifies this. Afa pikein, lav kol adam roi lochiach. But nevertheless, not every person is fit to deliver rebuke. Not every person is fit to deliver a rebuke. What does that mean? Kimo she'amar Rabbi Akiva, Tamei ani, im yesh bador hazeh mishiyacha lochiach. Rabbi Akiva quotes in Maseches Erechim, like the Rebbe quotes, this is Rabbi Akiva, that I'm not sure if there's someone in our generation who is able to give proper rebuke. Now this is Rabbi Akiva speaking in his generation. Rabbi Akiva is saying, I'm not sure that there's anyone in our generation who's really capable of giving proper rebuke to people. Now what does he mean proper rebuke? See, he says, V'im Rabbi Akiva amar zos bedoro, kol shekin bador hazeh sha'achshav. So, and Rabbi Nachman says, if Rabbi Akiva, first of all, the statement presupposes that Rabbi Akiva himself didn't feel fit. So if Rabbi Akiva didn't feel fit, and Rabbi Akiva didn't feel there was anyone else who was capable of giving true rebuke to their fellow Jews, says Rabbi Nachman, all the more so there's no one in our generation. He goes on, because it was saying when the person giving rebuke is not really fit to give rebuke. This is paragraph C. Azai lo dai she'inamo b'tochachto. See, Rabbi was saying, giving rebuke to another person, as we're going to discuss, is a very, very, very sensitive thing. Even the word itself, rebuke, it's not the good English. That's how we translate tochacha or hochacha in English. But the truth is, rebuke very often is like synonymous with chastising someone. Chastising or rebuking always sounds harsh. The mitzvah v'alchiach tochiach es amisecha is the mitzvah that stems from love. I love you so much that when I see you doing something that is not appropriate, when I see you doing something that is not correct, I feel compelled. I feel compelled to say something to you. Not because of a shtach, not because I'm angry, not because of anything, but just simply because, why? Because I love you. So we'll say, which tells you that at the end of the day, at the end of the day, one is only permitted to give tochacha if what? If it comes from a sense of love. If it comes from anger, if it comes from resentment, if it comes from a holier-than-thou attitude, says the Rebbe, don't give tochacha. It'll backfire. And this is what he says over here. He says, when a person is not right for tochacha, paragraph C, not only does the rebuke, quote-unquote, not work, afgam humavish reach shel haneshamos hashom tochachto. So we'll say, the Rebbe says something amazing. If you're not fit to, quote-unquote, give tochacha, if you're not really able to give rebuke, then not only does it not work, but look at his lashon here. Humavish reach shel haneshamos hashom tochachto. Literally, you increase the foul odor of the people who have already gone astray. Which is another way of saying, you make it worse. Not only, if you're not fit to give proper tochacha, if you're not fit to give rebuke, not only does the rebuke not work, but at the end of the day, it actually makes things worse. The Rebbe says, ki al yidei tochachto hu ma'orer hareach ra shal ha'masim ha'ra'im shal ha'masim ra'im umidos ro shal anashim shumochicham. So the Rebbe says something very interesting, because when you don't know how to give rebuke, and you try to give rebuke, then what do you end up doing? Through the rebuke, you awaken the foul odor of the negative actions and the negative midos of these individuals who you are rebuking. So the Rebbe gives an interesting mashal. We'll explain what this means in just a moment. But say, you know what this could be compared to? Let's say there's a foul-smelling object. It's a foul-smelling object in my proximity. Paragraph D. You know, as long as you don't touch the item, you know, push it or shove it or move it, so what happens? The smell generally remains innocuous. Paragraph D. When you begin to push around the smell, foul-smelling thing, you awaken the negative, the foul odor. Kimokim says the Rebbe, the same thing is Ayidei Tochacha Shal Misha In Aroy Lochiach. So the Rebbe says, when somebody who is not fit to rebuke others gives rebuke, Al Yidei Zem Mezizin Omeorin Hareach Ra Shal Amasim Roim Umidos Roos Shal Nashim Shemochicham. See, the Rebbe says, when you give Tochacha, but you're not really able to give real Tochacha, real rebuke, then it's like taking the foul item and moving it, then pushing it, then lifting it, then dropping it, then moving it here, moving it there, which does what? Which only spreads the odor more. When you give rebuke in the wrong way, what it does is it agitates the sinner. And when it agitates the sinner, generally what that does is what? It goes ahead and reinforces negative behavior. Now understand what the Rebbe is saying over here. What the Rebbe is saying is, we'll say, the major aspect, ultimately, again, of tochacha, the major aspect, ultimately, of rebuke, is that I love someone. I love someone. So if I love someone, I want what's best for them. If I want what's best for them, so that ultimately, again, I don't want you to do something bad because I love you. So we'll say, if the tochacha comes from someone who loves the individual, then the tochacha is real, then the tochacha is legitimate, and it will say, what's the greatest litmus test? How do you know if your tochacha is genuine or not? It's a very easy way to tell. What's the general easy way to tell? How it's accepted. See, Rabbi will say, at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure all of us have been on the receiving end of, we'll call it constructive criticism. And you know, when you're getting constructive criticism from someone who genuinely cares about you, versus constructive criticism from someone ultimately, again, who really doesn't like you or has an in for you in some way.
Envy.
And I will say, I'm sorry?
Envy.
Or an envy. So I'll say, so I just want to point out, now again, either way, let's be honest. Even if the chacha is coming from someone who I love, lav dafka, I'm not saying that I enjoy it. I'm not saying that I want it. Nor am I saying that I immediately mekabel it. But I can absolutely tell where it's coming from, and I appreciate the legitimacy of the tochacha. Masha inking, when it comes from an impure stress, I will say, what does that do? See, sometimes when you kick a person when they're down, so I will say, this is a very, very important yisod. No one ever changes because you go ahead and you make them feel like a piece of garbage. This is very important. So you know where this comes up all the time? This comes up in the realm of shalom bayis. So what happens? A husband and wife have an argument. Anyway, it doesn't matter who's right, who's wrong. I mean, we all know who's right and who's wrong. Right? It usually follows a similar pattern. And I was like, but I don't think it's very important to you. So sometimes what happens? A couple will say, you know what? The husband will say, let's keep it the wife. The wife will say, my husband does this, 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 this. All these terrible things. All these terrible things. And the truth is, it could very well be that she's 1,000% right on every single count. Maybe he, and the husband's mother, I do all these things. Rabbi said, but here's the klal gadol. If she wants him to get better, so it's not by pushing him into the gutter. Because generally when you push people in the gutter and you make them feel worthless, generally they stay down. They don't get back up. No one ever said, thank you so much for making me feel like a piece of garbage. That has really been the kick in the pants that I needed to get myself together and to be a better person. Most people instead say, if you make me feel like a piece of garbage, it must be that on some level I am a piece of garbage. And if I am a piece of garbage, then the truth is, I might as well just state, if there's one thing I'm good at in life, it's being a piece of garbage. I've perfected it. I got this one down. I know how to hit it out of the park with being a piece of garbage. That's what I'm good at, and there's no motivation to change. I will say, says the Rebbe, what does tochacha mean? Tochacha at the end of the day means, I love you. I love you. And because I love you, when I see you doing something wrong, I have to say something. But it's only if I'm genuine in my love for you that the tochacha will be accepted. Because if there's love, then the tochacha is understood as the reason why this person is giving me tochacha is because they believe in me. Because they believe you. See, people say, when you see a stranger on the street doing something wrong, generally you look the other way and you move on for one simple reason, which is, that person has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. But when someone who I love and I care about and I believe in them, people say, that's what the mitzvah of tochacha. Mitzvah tochacha is not simply to correct a negative behavior. It's that when people do negative things, it's because they have a lack of self-worth. When people do negative things, it's because they don't understand their true inner greatness. The mitzvah of tochacha is my ability to remind the sinner of their true inner greatness. But the tochacha only works if I actually believe in their inner greatness. If I don't believe in it, if I'm just giving a shtach, I'm in a bad mood, so I'm just going to lash out at someone for something that they did wrong, then I'm not giving them feedback because of their inner greatness. I'm giving them feedback because I'm bregis, because I'm upset, because I'm unhappy, because of a variety of different reasons why people give tochacha. So the Rebbe says, this is the distinction. When the tochacha is given from love, then it gives the person the message, I believe in you, you're great, and you can be so much better. But when it's given with disingenuity, and that's not a word, but right, when it's given in a disingenuous fashion, right? Disingenuous fashion, then what I will say? Then not only does it not help, but in fact it makes things worse. Because all the person hears is, wow, you think I'm a piece of garbage. So if you think I'm a piece of garbage, I guess that must really be what I am. It's like agitating the foul-smelling thing so that the odor becomes worse. So the Rebbe goes on. Paragraph F. Ki ikir yinikas hanasham hu me'areach, ki moshon rabbi sin zichron levracha, minayin shem mevarachin al areach, shenemar kol nesham atalaka. Izu dobish hanasham, skip down. Paragraph G. V'yalkin, al yidei zeh, hamochiach shu mavish recham. Al yidei zeh, necheleshes hanasham shini kasa me'areach. So here the Rebbe, he further solidifies this connection ultimately again between inappropriate tochacha and the foul odor. We're not going to get into it too much. But the Rebbe goes on, he says, Rebbe, so when the person giving tochacha is ra'ui, now I want to point out what this means. Ra'ui doesn't mean necessarily that's what. You don't have to be a great tzaddik, but you have to be filled with Ahavas Yisrael. You have to be filled with a burning love for your fellow Jew. If you're filled with that burning love for your fellow Jew, then when you point something out that they're doing, that love, if it's genuine, will come out in your tochacha. He goes on, Azai adrabo, hu mosif v'nosin riachtov b'haneshamos ayedei tochachto. A person ultimately, again, not only does he not intensify the negative or the foul odor, but in fact he infuses a beautiful scent into this neshama. He, turn the page, paragraph H, ki hatochacha tzricha lihios bebechinas hatochacha shamosha. And says the Rebbe, who is the paradigm of this type of tochacha? This was Moshe Rabbeinu. Sheochiach es Yisrael al ma'asa egel. Now remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll say, understand, one can make the argument, as bad as Chet HaMeraglim was, and it's bad, you know, the egel was just as bad, if not worse. You know, the Gemara says that Kol Paranos, every terrible thing that happens to Klal Yisrael, somehow, some way, rooted in the Chet HaEgel. It's a very dramatic statement, a very dramatic statement. And yet, how does Moshe Rabbeinu rebuke them about the egel? Two words, V'di Zahav. He makes a veiled reference to it. Why? So we'll say this is another piece. Because tochacha sometimes doesn't mean hitting people over the head with their mistakes. I know my mistakes, I know my shortcomings. If you love me and you care about me and you want to help me get better, that's fine. We don't have to rehash it. We don't have to relive it. We don't have to do like, you know, the, you know, frame by frame of all of my profound life failures. Sometimes, again, just the veiled reference that comes from someone who I love is enough of the push to say, you know what? I'm better than this. Moshe Rabbeinu does that with Klal Yisrael. He doesn't say, and you remember, I was gone for 40 days, 40 nights. I didn't eat anything. I didn't see my wife. I didn't see my kids. I'm up there slaving for you guys. And what are you guys doing? You're building a golden calf. You're nudniks. You're shkatzim. You're amasim. No good. He doesn't say that. What does he say? Dizahav. Dizahav. And what does Klal Yisrael do when they hear Moshe Rabbeinu say Dizahav? I guarantee you they look down. They look down. Because they understood what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, and they understood why Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them this was why. Not to rub their face in it, not to make them feel bad, not to assert his superiority over them, chas v'shalom. Saying, I love you. I love you. You experienced a profound failure, and you're better than that. You don't have to be these people. You don't have to do these things. You are capable of exceptional greatness. I don't need to hit you over the head with your sin. I just need to make reference to it so that you know it, I know it, and I'm mentioning it because I believe you can be better. He goes on, he says, through his simple tochacha, he imbued them with a beautiful scent. Paragraph I, ki ayidei tochacha shel Moshe al ma'aseh egel, hosif v'nosan bahem reach tov. We'll say through this simple rebuke, through this simple tochacha, veil tochacha, Moshe Rabbeinu infused Klal Yisrael with an added dimension of spirituality. Where is the added dimension of spirituality from? Because they understood that Moshe Rabbeinu was bringing up of their sin was not to patch them, but just the opposite, is to remind them of their mistake in an effort to reinforce how good and how much better they can be. This was an aberration. This was a blip on your life radar. This should not have happened. You are better than this. I believe in you. And now you have to start believing in yourselves. So the Rebbe points out over here that these psukim, see, everybody understands that this is Moshe Rabbeinu who's giving Musar to Klal Yisrael. What the Rebbe is pointing out to us is that these psukim are the very paradigm for the mitzvah of tochacha. The mitzvah of tochacha, which is perhaps one of the most difficult mitzvahs we have in the Torah, because again, it could be wonderful, or it could backfire, it could build the person up, or it could manage kick them in the kishkas and keep them in the gutter. And everything depends on who it's coming from. Moshe Rabbeinu models for us what tochacha is. Tochacha is, I love you. I believe in you. I know your mistakes are not the real you. I know your mistakes are the aberrations. The real you is beautiful. The real you is halig. The real you is special. And Moshe Rabbeinu does that without beating them over the head on their sin, by just mentioning it. And I will say, I'll tell you the raya to this. The Rebbe doesn't say it exclusively, but I believe it's what he means. So he will say, right after Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and tells them,
about the Chet HaEgel. So what does the Chodesh, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Re'ei, nasati lefneichem es ha'aretz. Bo'u urishu es ha'aretz. Asher nishpa Hashem la'voseichem. So again, what does Moshe say? In the next breath, Eretz Yisrael, go. It's yours. Embrace your destiny. 1 second.
How could a people who build a golden calf possibly have a destiny? There's only one terrace that was. There's only one answer, which is, seeing if you understand the building of the golden calf to be symptomatic of the true spiritual disposition of Klal Yisrael, then they don't deserve to go into the land. But if you believe that the building of the golden calf was a blip, it was a total aberration, it was just a huge mistake, and we all have bad days. Klal Yisrael just had a really bad day, but it doesn't define who you are. Then, bo urshu asaretz. Seize your destiny. Go into the land. Become the people who I know that you are capable of ultimately becoming. And I will say, this lesson is incredibly important for us, because the truth is, many of us have to give tochacha in different ways. So sometimes I have to give tochacha in my mishpacha, right? So sometimes, again, sometimes, you know, in the context of a marriage, one spouse does something wrong to another. Children do something wrong. So the shayla is, how do you approach those situations when you have to give rebuke? You know, some things in life you turn a blind eye to, but some things have to be mentioned. And I will say, how is it mentioned? You see, the biggest mistake that people make in relationships is when, you know, I want to tell you something, it's for your own good. It's for your own good, right? It's for your own good. And then you make a person feel mamish worthless. Make a person feel worthless. No one ever grows from feeling worthless. But if it's, whether it's in your mishpacha, in your marriage, or with your kids, or I will say, it's not just marriage, kids. A person has employees. There are times employees mess up. And there are times that ultimately, again, you have to give instruction. Whatever you have to give, that type of tochacha type feedback. What Moshe Rabbeinu always says is the best kind of tochacha is the one that says, you did something wrong, but it's not you. I recognize that you just had a bad day, that it was just a blip, that it was just a mess up. I know your greatness. I know your beauty. I know your holiness. I know your potential. I have to bring this to your attention because I don't think it's right. And I'm concerned that if you keep going like this, there could be whatever repercussions. But I will say, but it stems from a sense of love. It stems from a sense of love. And this is so important in general also. And I will say, in Klal Yisrael in general, we have so many different, you know, so many different, what's the right word? Opinions, so many different approaches, so many different mahalchim, so many different streams, so many different everything in Klal Yisrael. And the truth is, it's good to have your shitas, and it's good to have your hashkafas, and it's good to stake out, you know, what you believe. But I will say, even when you disagree with someone, you know, you always disagree with the person in a way that builds them up and never deconstructs them. You know, the greatest problem that we have in our current society today is that we no longer argue about issues. Instead, what we do is we deconstruct people. So I have one belief. You have one. We don't really talk about our beliefs. I'm going to tell you why you're rotten. You're going to tell me why I'm rotten. I'm going to try to discredit you. You're going to try to discredit me. And that's how the world works, unfortunately. I don't know if it's something new in our society. Maybe it's always been there. We're just more aware of it now. But that's often how people talk. And that's often how people deal with differences. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the best thing you can do in life is build people up. Never knock them down. Because if you knock them down, they will stay down. But if you point out their faults, their failures, their inconsistencies, out of love and because you care about them, and do it with a message that ultimately says, I believe in you, and not just in the person you are, but I believe in the person you can be, then not only do you point out the error in their ways, not only do you build them up in the present, but you give them the courage and you give them the strength to build a beautiful future.
Sure. Well, why do we focus on the person who is giving the tekocha and is mekayim the mitzvah, as opposed to the person that is receiving and saying, "Don't get bent out of shape, and don't take this, and don't get upset, and don't"? He's just the Torah is telling him.
I think it's habahat.
If you did something wrong, look inside. I think that's okay.
I think that's the beauty. I think that's the beauty of what the Rebbe is saying. It's habahat talya. You know, if it comes out of love, I'm not going to get bent out of shape. It puts it on the mochiach. I absolutely believe it's true. When you get feedback from someone who you know has no ulterior motive but your growth, you may get a little irate in the beginning, but you settle down because you know that it's coming from a place of love. I'm not saying that you say, thank you so much, may I have another. You know, I'm not saying that, but even if I get a little irate in the beginning, we've all had tochacha, like I think most of us have had tochacha in both ways. And I know when it's genuine, and I know when it's not genuine. And when I feel that someone mamish cares about me, and they love me, I may get a little hot under the collar when they're saying it, but I'll accept it.
If you're hinting to something personal.
No, I want to say something. This resonates with me a lot because in my position, I get a lot of feedback. Baruch Hashem. But I'll tell you. And I'll just tell you, this is something mamish I have to work on all of the time. Because again, there are many times where it's totally illegitimate and it's just, I should admit, sometimes where it's just other agendas. But there are times where people say things that, you know what, mamish, it's for my benefit. And it hurts and it stings a little bit. But then when I know that person, I say, you know what? Okay, I have to calm down, put my ego to the side and say, you know what? There's something to that. That person doesn't have to say anything. Because actually what they're bringing up doesn't even have anything to do with them. They're pointing this out to me because they love me. Because they care about me. And I might get hot under the collar initially, but then we settle down. I'm talking to myself, not to you.
But aren't the people he's talking to, these Ahav, these are all the Tinokim, right? These weren't people who did the Chet.
So technically speaking, there could have been young people who were there at the... They would have been young.
Okay.
They would have been young. But they were there. But remember again, there are certain Averos, and Chet Meraglim is the same thing. Remember, Moshe Avenu is... Almost none of these people were alive at Chet Meraglim either.
Right.
But yet Moshe Avenu brings it up because there are certain Averos which are so profound that they are part of the collective fabric of Klal Yisrael. So even if you weren't there, there's some element almost of like national participation in this. And as Moshe Avenu gives them rebuke for everything. These people weren't here for Korach. These people weren't here for the Slav. They weren't here for anything.
Right.
But yet they're getting tochach on all of it.
No. So this is his Shabbos Chazon message.
Correct.
This is, and here's the amazing part.
He's trying to head it off at the pass, which is really amazing. Also, he's trying to be proud. He knows it's going to destroy the fabric of Klal Yisrael, and he just tries to address it. But yeah.
Somebody sent me this going around some of the front communities.